Hello, hello. Wagwan. My name is Ruth Adala and welcome to another episode of What the Fudge podcast. We are still live from the University of Life. This is the School of Parts and Hard Knocks. Now, big shout outs to everyone who listened to episode 8 and everyone who took their time to respond back and just tell me that, girl, you is normal. Because you all felt it. You're just like, that's like how life goes on, you know. You get confused today, tomorrow you know what the fuck you're doing, the next day you don't know what you're doing, and life goes on. So thank you so much to everyone who's been holding it down for me, especially the homies, man, friends. Thank you so much for always being there. Like, I really appreciate it. And everybody who's listening in, from whatever part of the world that you are listening in from. It's been quite a minute that I haven't been here. And I remember somebody asked me yesterday, nowadays you don't podcast or what? I was like, I do. Shit's just been going down and I've just been feeling a little bit inspirationless to talk or share. And maybe it's also because a few weeks ago, I think, I don't know, we were just talking, me and my homegirl and my sister, and my homegirl made a joke. She was like, You're such an open book. That's what she said. And it kind of disturbed me after that. I was like, wow, I really am an open book. Like, I'm such an unapologetic of a sharer. Like, I don't mind sharing. Because I always feel like the minute you honestly and authentically share, it connects you on another deeper level. I don't know. It's how it feels to me. But it got me thinking that I was like, maybe I share a little bit too much. So I need to, you know, close myself for renovation and, you know, put that sign out there, close for public participation, you know, and just be a little bit private about some stuff. But then, of course, it was just messing with my mind, you know. And yeah. So we're here, episode 10. Oh, 9. Look the way my head is just everywhere. Episode 10. Okay. Episode 9. Good vibes for the week. How have you guys been? Like, how is your life? What's going on in your life? How are you winning? Are you taking some L's right now? And if you're taking the L's, how are you taking them? What's your attitude like? You know, what's going on in your life? I haven't been so much on the internet streets. I've been avoiding, I've been quieting the noise a little bit. You know, sometimes you just have to, you know, unplug from the matrix, man. It helps. Like, sometimes you just have to. So I've been off. And also because it's just been, I think, just bad news back to back, you know. Ever since the Safaricom CEO died, Bob Collymore, a few days later, Kibra MP Ken Okoth died. And it's just, I've been feeling the low vibrations from, like, just everything that is happening. I'm that kind of a person where they're like, I soak in vibes, I soak in energies. I am so freaking SpongeBob, man. I really, really absorb like things around me. And I'm trying to teach myself to just like observe and not really absorb sometimes. So yes, yeah, so I've been on the low. Actually, it kind of reminds me, there's a time I was watching Erykah Badu on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne and Anjali. You should catch that interview, but it's so dope. Like, they spoke a lot of, it was so, you know me, I'm all about self-improvement, self-awareness, and all that type of shit. So they spoke a lot about that. Like, I remember this time, Charlamagne asked Erykah Badu that, how do you raise your vibration back up when you're feeling low? And it's like, before he asked that, it was like, do you feel like we, like, the world is sad? As in, what are your thoughts on that, on the collective consciousness? What are your thoughts on that? And of course, you know, the Queen Badu that she is, she went on a whole other deeper level of conversation. But like, she kept on saying, of course, people are feeling, she's like, all of us are depressed. And when she said that, you could even see like the silence that was in the studio at that particular moment. Please go on YouTube and just catch that that interview. Like, just search Erykah Badu on The Breakfast Club, then you watch the interview. I'm sure there are many, but you'll come across one. You'll come across it. The one I'm talking about. So she was like, everybody here, we are all depressed. I mean, there's so much, if you're awake to your being, there's so much happening in the world that you cannot pretend that it doesn't bother you even kidogo, like even a little bit. You see the way, there's a reggae song that says, look at that hungry child, you know, do you see anything to smile about? So that's like the kind of vibe she's trying to say. She's like, people, like, the world is sad, and every time, and like, everyone is soaking into the low vibrations that is happening. Mara, it's people are being killed in Sudan, what's happening in Syria, or just all stupid things, people being shot left, right, and center, or even just right at your home state. I mean, there's something awful that has happened or is happening, you know, and it's just the cycle of life. It's not like it's something very weird, but she was trying to explain that. So by people sucking in that low vibration, it makes a lot of people sad. And as they say, hurt people, like, you know, when you're sad, you're putting out that energy, and it's just like that. So Charlamagne asked a very important question. Charlamagne was like, so how do you bring your vibration back up when you're low like that? Like, how do you unplug from the matrix when you're low like that? And Erykah Badu gave one of the best answers I've ever heard, and she was like, by being of service. And I was thinking about it so much after that. I was just meditating on it, and even when I was having my conversations with God, I was telling God, wow, this is really, really nice. She's like, but me, by doing something to someone, I automatically feel good. And it's kind of true. Like, have you ever noticed that every time that you do a genuine act of kindness to someone, you just feel good? Like, your life, you just feel genuinely good. Even if you don't have, like, you know, you're not putting in the racks, you don't have the money, but you're feeling good, you're feeling fulfilled. And for me, I always long for more of my days to be like that I feel so fulfilled in whatever action I do or whatever thing I say. Like, or whatever energy that I decide to put out, I always feel like I should feel fulfilled. So it just kind of made so much sense to me. And it's like, yeah, by being of service, you know? So yeah, why was I telling you about this whole interview again? But yeah, we'll just find out later on. But yeah, so do check out that interview. Like, it has some pretty, pretty good vibes. You should check it out. What else? We start the good vibes for the week. Let me just tell you, I won't lie to you, there's so much good vibey still going on. We're still in that confused state, but at least we're getting out of it, you know, like, and we know we're handling it. I called a friend of mine, and I just broke down, man, like, again. This is like another one again. I was just like, and he was just listening on the other end of the line, and he was just like, okay, do whatever you need to do. It was just like, you know what, just don't feel bad about it. Feel it. Just go through it and harness it into a better thing. So, good vibes for the week. I've been listening to, let's start with music. I've been listening to a lot of lovers rock, lovers reggae, roots and culture, man. Cool Runnings by Dwayne Stevenson. I love that song. I just like the whole vibe of that song. The way he's just, like, if you watch the video, the way he's just with the mic there and he's just vibing. It's so groovy and wavy. Like, I love it. Cool Runnings. Check out that song if you haven't checked it out. I found out about this artist called Dope Lemon. Like, previously, before, he was called Anger Stone. He was like the Australian folk singer and songwriter. I don't know if you've heard about him. There used to be two when like him and the sister, and then they separated. Then he started this project called he started like a solo project called I forgot the name, but now he calls himself Dope Lemon. And Dope Lemon has like a beautiful album. He says that Dope Lemon is like his alter ego, is like this he's a spiritual creature of the night that he seeks to for guidance because he feels like Doplemon is so cool. He's like a happy go lucky character who just likes late nights, staying out late night with music and with a drink and a cigar. I was like, wow, sounds like some guy who, you know, some chill out guy. So that's like this alter ego. So there's this song he's done. It's called Hey Little Baby. Check it out on the tube. Like, it's so nice. It's so chilly. Like, it's chilling. It's not chill music. Very, very good chill music. If you're just, you know, you just want to relax after a hard day or just want to put yourself in some really good state, just, you know, listen to it. And then the video kind of look like a psychedelic video, but it's so dope. Like, just check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. Who else am I listening to? I've been really replaying a lot of Patience by Nas and Damian Marley. I like that song. It's really, let's just say the whole album that they did together, Distant Relatives, that was some really dope-ish. So if you haven't vibed to that album, you can check it out. Like, I don't know, I kinda stopped vibing to Nas after I heard the story with Kelis and how, like, he used to batter her and the way he had a problem, he had a drug problem that he could not accept, and then he'd really, really batter her and treated her bad. So, you know, like, it kind of messed with how I feel about him. And for me, I sometimes do struggle with separating the art from the artist. So same thing with R. Kelly. Like, I can't listen to R. Kelly's music anymore. I'm just like, no, dude. Can vibe to your bullshit. I don't know. He spoiled for me his music with all these rape allegations and stuff. And I struggle. And sometimes I'm okay with it. And then sometimes I'm not. So I don't know, guys. What the fuck? It's a what the fuck moment again. So yeah, a book that I'm vibing to right now. It's a beautiful book I was gifted by. My bestie is gifted by the mysterious friend. It's called Practicing the Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. You know Eckhart Tolle, like, I used to watch like a lot of his YouTube videos, and I would like, sometimes I'd see his posts on Instagram, and I just used to love his thought process. Then I used to really, really want to read The Power of Now, the book. Then I haven't gotten it. So when I got Practicing the Power of Now, which is like a sequel to The Power of Now, I was like, yay, my friend, at least she knows what to gift me, man. I was like, this book, and I've said this before on the pod, that I like books that creep into my life, and this one has creeped into my life, because books that creep into your life, like, legit change your life for some reason. The first part I read, let me read it for y'all. He said, the beginning of freedom is the realization that you are not the thinker. The moment you start watching the thinker, a higher level of consciousness becomes activated. You then begin to realize that there is a vast realm of intelligence beyond thought, and that thought is only a tiny aspect of that intelligence. You also realize that the things that truly matter, beauty, love, creativity, joy, and inner peace, arise from beyond the mind. You begin to awaken. I'm having a book orgasm. Y'all, I read that one page and I meditated on that one page the whole day. Like, I was just like, yes, you're saying it. You know, like, the minute, have you ever gone through that space where you realize that you're thinking, and then you're like, wow, I'm thinking about something. And then it's a beautiful mental space to be at, because you realize that it's just a thought and you are not that thought. It's so liberating. Like, for me, it's something that I have, it doesn't happen quite often, but it has happened. And every time it happens, it makes me feel so, I have never felt alive like that. Like, it's like you notice your presence. If you can relate to what I'm saying, just, you know, holla back on this episode and just tell me that you relate with exactly what I'm saying. So anyway, do check out that book if you haven't checked it out. You don't have to read it if you don't want to read, but you can just check out like excerpts of it and, you know, meditate on some of the words. You never know what it's gonna channel inside you. Also, I got The Path Made Clear by Oprah. I haven't started reading it, but it's a book that I really want to start vibing to. There's something about Oprah. There's something about me and Oprah that I still don't understand. Like, I never used to really vibe out to Oprah, and I used to wonder, to be quite honest, and this is going to be such an unpopular opinion, but I used to wonder, what's the hullabaloo about Oprah? And I even used to watch her shows. I was such a Tyra freak. I was such a, I used to love Tyra. Like, me and my sisters would watch Tyra at 6 every day in the evening. That's how much we were obsessed with Tyra. So I never really, and then I used to feel like Oprah, like, I think I'd see people cry on her show. So I never used to like watching. I'd be like, nah, man, let me just watch Tyra looking all fabulous and gorgeous, you know. And she's, you know, just, Tyra would give you confidence levels. Oprah, on the other side, would make you feel sad about something. So I just never used to vibe to it. But of course, that has changed with age and growing up and me knowing now the human potential that is Oprah Winfrey. I'm like, my God. So ever since, like, I started watching Super Soul Sunday sessions, especially the one that, I think it's the one that, was it the one that it was with Eckhart? No, it wasn't Eckhart. Who was that? Yeah, it was Eckhart. I think it was Eckhart too. Oh my God, I loved that session. So I started listening, and I even started listening to the pod, and I was like, okay, maybe there's something here. Then I started watching OWN and started realizing, oh my God, you're actually a brilliant creator. You know, there's some amazing, amazing shows on OWN. Like, have you watched Greenleaf? I think it's, I don't know if it's Tyler Perry's, but it's on OWN. It's really, really nice. Like, I love it. I love it. Mostly also because Lovie Simone is there. And I love that girl. Like, I love her style. I love her vibe. Everything about her. Do catch up Greenleaf, by the way, if you haven't watched that series. It's a dope one. Black families and churches, man. Man, it's crazy. So, yeah. So, ever since, there's just something that keeps pulling me to Oprah. And sometimes I remember, sometimes, like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, today I'm on my Oprah state of mind. You know, like, I'm a bad bitch and I'm a bad, badass woman and I'm a boss babe and I'm conquering the world and I'm doing all this type of shit and I'm going to have this big media house or media center that will be doing everything from writing to radio to TV to let's keep on dreaming, man. So anyway, that's why I was so glad when my pal sent me The Path Made Clear by Oprah, because it's like, there's some synchronicity happening here, you know? Ain't no coincidence. Then also, finally, I got my hands on We Gonna Need More Wine by Gabriel Union. I love Gabriel Union. Oh, another unconventional relationship, I'm telling you. Chick is 45, dude is 34. Dude has 3 kids who are all boys, and Chiquita just loves him. You know, like, very unconventional. It's like, yes, Gabriel, show these people how it's done. Show them this is love, baby. Anyway, yeah, I love Gabriel Union. So there's just a way I have to read this book. I really, really want to watch her story. You know, of course, you know a little bit of her story. She was raped when she was, when she was younger. She struggled getting a child, her frustrations with getting into the industry, you know, Hollywood, and, you know, just making it as a young black queen. I mean, come on, hats off to her. I love such kind of stories, human potential. Yeah, I finished watching Killing Eve. My God, what was that finale? What would you kill for love? Like, it can, you know, that last episode where the serial killer was so pissed because Eve didn't just want to fall in love with her and she just decided to shoot her. I really hope she hasn't died, because I was just like, what the hell? Would you actually kill for love? Kind of reminded me of that song by 30 Seconds to Mars, Hurricane, that they say, tell me what you kill to save a life. Would you kill to save a life? I would love to know your thoughts on that. Currently, I'm vibing to Blind Spot. I've just started watching Blind Spot. Hey, this show is fire. What? Haven't watched Money Heist yet. I just see it on trending, but I haven't started watching it. But yeah, I'm on Blind Spot. Blind Spot is so dope. If you haven't joined the bandwagon, please just join. Like, tonight, I just want to binge watch season 2. I've finished 1 and I cannot wait to continue. So yeah. I don't have any more good vibes, man. People haven't traveled, so I can't share like a place you can visit. You should come to Candela. Come to the Candela Insta account. Okay, here I am again mentioning to you guys another place. But the Candela is nice. Good coffee, good chino around here. For your coffee lovers out there. This episode is going to be, I don't know, I think it's going to be long. Or if it's not going to be long, it's just gonna end like abruptly, because it was just triggered by friends, you know, and friendship and what friendship means to me and what it means. Because the last few days, like I told you in the last episode, really, it's my friend who came through for me and just put me back on track. And she's like, you know what, chick, this is why you started the podcast. Remember the why. Remember the why for such moments, for such confused moments. So put it out there. Be authentic about it. Don't start faking shit up on the internet. You get, just be authentic about it. So it really got me thinking about, aside from that, like it really got me think, aside from that, a lot of things have happened that have just made me think a lot about friendship. Like, say, like the way Bob Collymore died, and then there was this interview about his boys club, and everyone was talking about, oh, these are the kind of friends you should have, people, and everyone was at that point reviewing their friendships with people. And I was like, I found it a little bit fake though, because I was like, you all want friends who are like Bob Collymore's friends, but you ain't a CEO, boo. You ain't a CEO. I mean, people match energy. You get? So if you want CEO friends, just freaking level up also. Like, don't be there putting pressure on people and even you, you're not leveling up. I don't rate that. And also, I do believe that people are on different journeys, and people evolve differently, and they're at different paces. So I really kind of feel like it's really dumb for you to compare your friends to other people. I really feel like, no, man, that's some fake-ish. So I really didn't, that interview, I was just like, the feedback like from people, from Kenyans, I was like, nah, did you take Bob Collymore to die for you all to know good friendship? Like, doesn't your dads have friends, or your mothers have friends, or your brothers, or your family? When you people are not even friends in your family, like, why, people? You know, I didn't get it. And then aside from that, also, I watched an interview on Citizen. I watched it on YouTube, but it was on Citizen TV, where they had this there was a panel of people talking about friendship, and this guy, this radio presenter, he was talking about friendship, and was like, him is always friends with people because of something that he can get, and that's what people should stop pretending. But the truth of the matter is, you're only friends with people because you want something. To some extent, he was kind of right in whatever he was explaining, but I kind of felt like, nah, friendship is not selfish. If it comes, of course I'm friends with you because maybe we are aligned. You get where you're say, for instance, you're a hippie like me, and we're aligned into something, or we like the same thing together, or we all like wearing, you know, black trousers or something. That's the thing that has made me decide to, you know, we've just gelled in some way. You gel because, of course, there's something you're connecting with it from someone. I don't think it's selfish in any way. If I'm your friend because I know, okay, fine, you're very good in procurement, and I want to start this business, so I'm your friend because of that. I don't think it's a bad thing if the intention is pure. You get? So for me, it's all about intention. If the intention is pure, then I don't think friendship is selfish. And so when I watched the interview, it had a lot of backlash also. Like, a lot of people had different opinions from different people. And it also made me start thinking about it so much, and thinking, hey, by the way, what if I'm also friends with people because of things that I get from them? You know, like, and is it bad? But is it bad to expect things from? Is it bad to expect things from your friends? And is it bad to for your friends to have expectations from you? I don't think it's bad if the intention is genuine. Because come on, let's think about it this way: we are human beings, and human beings thrive by connecting. That's a fact that nobody can lie about. You get? There's no, like, we love reciprocated love. It is just natural. And it's only natural because love is mutual. There's no way. It's only natural for you to want also to be loved by somebody else, or to want to get something from. It's only natural. And I think people really overthink it and make it look like it's really selfish. But for me, I feel like it's only natural because, I mean, if... Oh my gosh, my battery is low. Fuck. Okay. For me, because I just feel like, and I was, I remember I even called a friend of mine about this, and we really got into an argument about it. And I was like, no. And he was trying to explain it to me. He was like, for me, I don't want anything from my friends. I don't need my friends to help me to do something. I don't want anything. I don't have expectations from my friends. And I was like, you know, you people who say they don't want expect they don't have expectations from their friends are people who have nothing to offer. And that's just a fact, according to me. As in, for me, that's just how I say this might be an unpopular opinion, and I would really love to hear your thoughts on this. Because if you say that you don't expect anything from your friends, it means you also don't want your friends to expect anything from you. And why wouldn't you want your friends to expect anything from you if you don't have anything to give? You get? I just feel like these are people who you don't want to give your friendship, you don't want to give your love, you don't want to give your attention, you don't want to give your You know, you don't want to give your energy to your friend because you don't want to take theirs because you don't want to also share. And I kind of feel like that's the selfish kind of friendship. Because if you're friends with someone and you give them, like, you get their love, I think it's only natural for you to give them your love too. You know, if I show up to you. You know, I show up for, let's say, I show up for your events. I come, I, you know, important days in your life. I'm there with you. You know, it's not a must that I do those things, but I take that conscious effort to show up for my friend. It's only natural for you to feel the same. It's only natural for you to want me to also show up. And for me, it's something that I just had to come to accept because it took me such a long time because I used to, I'd go through moments where I experienced that with people that I called friends, and they don't show up when I need them to show up. And then it would make me feel, but then I'd start feeling, no, you're not supposed to feel bad. Why are you feeling bad even? You can't know you want your friend, they must all do this. But as I felt like, nah, at this particular point, you need people you can rely on. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you need a circle of friends that you can rely on because friendship is one of the most important things in the world. And I always even tell my family members, I've told my sister before that even within family, you must make friends. You know, like we are family members, yes, we are individuals with different dreams, different ideals, different way of thinking, different perspectives, you know, different beliefs even. So if you don't make that conscious effort to know me and to be my friend, we'll just be there by blood, by the fact that there's no place we can go or we can't even stop vibing with each other, but we are there by blood. So this whole vibe really is the one that triggered this episode, and it made me think about, you know, friendship, what it means to me, the friends that I've had, the times that I've ended my long-term friendships. I've ended long-term friendships, and it was one of the hardest things that I've ever done. You know, one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life. Imagine ending a childhood friendship, probably someone that you've known all your life, ever since you were in kindergarten or something of the sort. You know, life gets to those moments where you have to cut certain ties. You get so it really got me thinking about that, and that's what made me record this episode. I just want to share and also get to know your opinions. Like, have you ever ended a long-term friendship, and why did you end it? And what are your thoughts on friendship? Do you believe that you have to show up to your friends, or you don't mind that? Like, it's okay if, whether they show up or they don't. You're just there. You're the good friend. Do you feel like that? And do you always feel like sometimes you're the one who shows up too much? And what do you do in such cases? Do you talk to your friends? Do you open up to them? Because let me be quite honest with you. One of my toxic friendship traits that I have, and I know that I have, and I'm really trying to work on it, is I ghost on people. Like, the minute I feel the friendship is one-sided, I just ghost on you because I don't want to have that confrontational conversation. I normally do have, like, I don't have a problem with having a confrontational conversation, like, or a hard conversation to have with a friend, especially if it's someone that I really love and I care about. I will tell you, I'll speak my mind and tell you, but I will watch how you respond. And if you don't respond with the kind of sensitivity that I was hoping for at that particular moment, I just ghost on you. I've done that so many times to people, like, I've ghosted. And the worst thing is, after I ghost on you, now it becomes so hard for me to come back. Like, I can even forgive you, I've forgotten whatever you've done. Like, I meet you, I can say, wagwan. But then I can't just allow you back into my life. And I feel like it's such a bad trait that I have that I want to try and work on. Do share with me, what are some of your bad traits, like, you know, friendship traits that you have? Do you have any, if you have? And have you ever felt like, you know, you're giving so much. Because for me, I still insist, people who do not expect anything from your friends are people with nothing to offer for friendship, because love is mutual, you know. Even if it's not reciprocated, it craves to connect. Even if love is not, best believe, even if it's not reciprocated back, you will feel it. You'll feel, why doesn't this person show up like this? You'll feel it even if you don't say it, you know. For me, I expect my pals not just to have expectations from me, but to be sure that I can be reliable and they can count on me. As in, that's this all. And that's the same as I see them, you know. I don't like the way that presenter was like, friendship is for survival. You're friends with people because you need something. True, but what's the original intention? Thank you guys so much for listening in. Do share with you with me your thoughts about friendship and what you think about this. Do share with me your good vibes for the week. And do share this episode if you find it relatable, and if you just feel like somebody should be listening into it. Please do share it, because we need more people. We need to grow the community bigger and bigger. But until then, peace, love, and tons of good vibes.